Hi everyone, this is Bill Koenig at the Spy Command, here today to talk about another anniversary of a James Bond movie. So here it goes. License to Kill, which came out 35 years ago, is mostly known for a series of lasts, but also a first. It was the last of five 007 films directed by John Glenn, the most prolific director in the series. It was the last of 13 Bond films where Richard Maybaum, born 1909, died 1991, participated in the writing. It was the last with Albert R. Broccoli getting a producer's credit. He would only present 1995's GoldenEye. It was the last 007 movie with a title sequence designed by Maurice Binder, who would die in 1990. And it was the last 007 film where Pan Am was the unofficial airline of the James Bond series. It went out of business before GoldenEye. It was also the first to falter badly in the U.S. market. Bond wasn't on Poverty Row when License to Kill began production in 1988, but neither did 007 travel entirely in first class. Under financial pressure from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, which acquired half the franchise after buying United Artists earlier in the decade, Eon Productions moved the home base of the production to Mexico from Pinewood Studios. Joining Timothy Dalton in his second and last outing as Bond was a cast mostly known for appearing on U.S. television, including Anthony Zerbe, Don Stroud, David Hedison, his second appearance as Felix Leiter, Priscilla Barnes, Rayford Johnson, Frank McRae, as well as Las Vegas performer Wayne Newton. Meanwhile, character actor Robert Davi snared the role of the film's villain, with Carrie Lowell and Talisa Soto as competing Bond women. Michael G. Wilson, Broccoli's stepson and co-producer, took the role as lead writer because a 1988 Writers Guild strike made Richard Maybaum unavailable. Maybaum's participation did not extend beyond the plotting stage. The teaser trailer billed Wilson as the sole writer, screenplay by Michael G. Wilson, but Maybaum received co-writer billing in the final credits, written by Michael G. Wilson and Richard Maybaum. Wilson opted for a darker take, up to a point. He included Leiter having a leg chewed off by a shark based on the Live and Let Die novel. A man gets his heart cut out, off-screen. Zerbe's Milton Crest dies when his head explodes. Looking back today, the mayhem is relatively tame, but it was a big deal at the time. The writer-producer also upped the number of swear words compared with previous 007 entries. But Wilson hedged his bet with jokes such as Newton's fake preacher and a scene where Q, Desmond Llewellyn, shows off gadgets to Bond. License to Kill would be the first Bond film where, this time it's personal, Bond goes rogue to avenge Leiter. Since then, it has frequently been personal for 007. Because of budget restrictions, filming was kept primarily in Florida and Mexico. The end product didn't go over well in the U.S. Other studios had given the 16th 007 film a wide berth for its U.S. opening weekend. The only new movie that weekend was a re-release of Walt Disney Company's Peter Pan. Nevertheless, License finished an anemic number four during the July 14 to 16 weekend, coming in behind Lethal Weapon No. 2 in its second weekend, Batman in its fourth weekend, and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids also its fourth weekend. At the end of the day, Glenn and Maybaum were done with Bond, the latter being part of the 007 series since its inception. Initial pre-production of the next 007 film proceeded without the two series veterans. Wilson wrote a treatment in 1990 for Bond 17 with Alphonse Ruggiero that included a deadly fembot. Scripts with other scribes were then written based on that treatment. Author Mark Edlitz, in a 2020 book, detailed other attempts at writing a third and fourth Dalton movie. None of the Dalton scripts were ever made. That's because Broccoli would enter into a legal fight with MGM that meant Bond wouldn't return to movie screens until 1995. By the time production resumed, Eon started over, using a story by Michael France as a beginning point for what would become GoldenEye. Maybaum meanwhile, had died in early 1991. Former studio executive Jeff Kleeman, in a 2024 interview with the Spyhards podcast, said the MGM leadership wasn't enthusiastic about retaining Timothy Dalton, while Eon wanted to continue with the actor. In the give and take that followed, Dalton stepped aside and GoldenEye would star Pierce Brosnan. Today, some fans like to blame MGM's marketing campaign or other major summer 1989 movies, such as Batman or Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, for the 1989 box office results. But License came out weeks after either of those blockbusters. And it needs to be repeated, Bond could not best Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which also came out weeks earlier. In the end, U.S. audiences didn't care for License compared with other offerings. The movie's total U.S. box office was $34.7 million, which didn't match Batman's opening U.S. weekend of $40.5 million. License's U.S. box office was almost a third less than its 007 predecessor, The Living Daylights. License to Kill did much better in other markets. Still, License's worldwide ticket sales represented an 18% decline from The Living Daylights. As stated before, some 007 fans blame a lackluster U.S. advertising campaign. However, Michael G. Wilson said in 2015 that Eon officials, quote, really run the marketing ourselves, unquote, and studios merely, quote, execute it, unquote. Did that apply to License to Kill? Or was License somehow an exception? For Dalton, Glenn, Maybaum, and even Broccoli, he yielded the producer's duties on GoldenEye because of ill health. It was the end of the road. Michael G. Wilson, despite his enormous impact on License to Kill, remained in place. Blood, even adopted blood, after all, is thicker than water, or even box office receipts. That's it. This is Bill Koenig at the Spy Command. Thank you for listening.